Now off to Washington, D.C. and Linda Kenyon. Good morning, Linda.
Morning. Happy Friday.
And right back at you.
Thank you. Before I forget, you will not see or hear from me next week, so let's make
it. Oh, that's right. What in the world is where are your travels taking you to this time?
I'm going to Iceland, then I'm going to Denmark, and then I'm giving a speech in Sweden.
In Swedish?
Before a global media group. Fortunately, they all speak English.
That is wonderful. You are
yes.
going to, my wife and her son toured Iceland a couple of years ago, and she's still talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody who goes there has wonderful things to say about it, except for one thing, and that is that food is very expensive.
Uh-huh.
But this is what we save for, so we can enjoy ourselves once a year.
That's exactly right.
At least
right.
me. Once a year. Some people go more than once a year.
Yeah. Speaking of saving money, are we going to have a government shutdown?
Well, you know,
I know I keep asking that question, but, you know.
Well, today is a crucial day, so it's a good day to talk about that. The House is going to vote on a continuing resolution this morning. That's a CR, as they like to call it, which will continue funding levels at current levels when the current fiscal year ends at the last day of September, and the new fiscal year begins on October 1st. So as of October 1st, if this bill passes, then the government will be funded by old numbers, old budget levels. And that they're talking about a continuing resolution that will keep those numbers in place through November 21st. Now, why is that? Well, that's because the House and the Senate have not been able to finish their work on passing the 12 annual appropriations bills, which is their one and only job. So if the House passes it today, and it is expected, it will go to the Senate. But in another way to sort of add on the pressure for it to pass, the House Republican leaders have told Senate Democrats, who are balking at the bill once it gets to them, that the House is out after today. They're going to be gone all next week. And that is in part for the Jewish holidays. And as a result, they are saying if you don't do it now, that's it. There will be a government shutdown. But the Democrats do not like this continuing resolution, not in the House and not in the Senate. And while it may pass in the House, it's going to be much harder to pass in the Senate because the majority there is to the Republicans is very slim. And so far, at least one Republican, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, says he's not going to vote for it. So that's going to be a problem because Republicans can only lose two votes from their side of the aisle and still pass the bill in the House. And then, of course, in the Senate, you're going to need at least eight Democrats across party lines to vote for it.
This is a tactic that I think we saw here not too long ago, where the House passes something and then it gets out of town, so it leaves the Senate with limited options.
Right. And the option is for the Senate to pass it or not pass it and allow a government shutdown. Now, the Democrats have a certain amount of power in this vote because the minority has power in the Senate and because the Republicans, although they are the majority, are a very slim majority. So the Democrats are saying they don't like the bill for a number of reasons, not the least of which is they call it an assault on public health care programs, and they wanted a bipartisan alternative. And we're talking about Democrats in both the House and the Senate. And they also are demanding that the Affordable Care Act subsidies be extended because they expire at the end of the year. They also want to roll back those Medicaid cuts that were passed into law last year through the president's, well, earlier this year, through the president's One Big Beautiful Bill Act.
I'm curious as how they were able to confirm 48 nominees yesterday with just one vote.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, the House doesn't have much to do, if anything, about the nominations. It is really all the Senate's job. And the Senate has been grappling with what they call partisan foot dragging for decades. So the Republicans just basically said we had enough, and they went through what they call on Capitol Hill the nuclear option. In other words, they went ahead and changed the rules. Now, in the Senate, the minority party, in this case, the Democrats, do have some power, the power to filibuster, the power to even threaten to filibuster is even enough to block anything. And nominations are usually taken up one person at a time. Well, the Republicans said, you guys are dragging your feet too much. We're not going to stand for it anymore. We're going to change the rules and just say from now on, it's just a simple majority. That's good for the Republicans because they have a simple majority. They don't have much more than that. Well, it's called the nuclear option because it can be used to steamroll the minority party, whichever party that might be. And right now it's the Democrats. The Democrats, of course, are calling foul. But in the next election or perhaps in a subsequent election, because politics is a cyclical thing, it could be that the Democrats are in charge. And then the Democrats can say, well, Republicans, you did this to us when you were in charge, and now we're doing it to you, so we're going to steamroll you. And that's why it's been considered a very dangerous thing to do, and therefore called the nuclear option. And the Republicans invoked the nuclear option, and that's how the Senate confirmed 48 of President Trump's nominees in one single vote, en bloc, as they say. And from now on, the Democrats are going to be very angry, and they're probably going to take it out on the Republicans someday when they're in power. And that will be someday, because that's how politics works.
Interesting situation developing in the Middle East now. We have Pakistan getting involved with Saudi Arabia, and they're basically saying, you attack one of us, you attack both of us. The thing that's a little scary here is that Pakistan has nuclear weapons.
Yeah, Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and President Trump says he stopped a war between Pakistan and India, two nuclear powers. But what are they so upset about right now? Well, they're upset about a number of things, not the least of which is the fact that while there were talks going on in Qatar to end the war in Gaza, Israel went ahead and attacked Hamas leadership, which was in Qatar, to discuss ending the war against Israel and in Gaza. And so the other Arab nations, Saudi Arabia being one of them, said, wait a minute, this is not acceptable. You've just attacked one of our own, and so we're all going to band together. And if you attack one of us, you attack all of us. It sounds kind of like a NATO operation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. So how does that affect Afghanistan?
Well, Afghanistan is in a very interesting spot. It's a very interesting strategic location. And President Trump broke a little bit of news yesterday while he was in the United Kingdom during a joint news conference with the UK Prime Minister, during which he said that the United States wants to take back the Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. Well, that was a bit of a shocker. His quote was, we're trying to get it back, by the way. We're trying to get it back because they need things from us. We want that base back. But one of the reasons we want the base is, as you know, it's an hour away from where China makes nuclear weapons. That's a quote. So why do we want it back? Well, when the U.S. pulled out of Afghanistan in 2021, in a very chaotic withdrawal of American troops, the Taliban moved in and took over Bagram Air Base, which is a huge, sprawling air base. And the U.S. not only abandoned the air base, but millions of pieces of military equipment, ammunition, et cetera, some of it blew up, some of it burned up and destroyed so the Taliban couldn't use it, but it was a very chaotic withdrawal. And President Trump continues to attack the Biden administration verbally, saying that they allowed that to happen. That the deal to pull out of Bagram Air Base happened with Donald Trump during his first term, but it was carried out during the Biden administration.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting. Thank you for drilling down for us, and enjoy your time overseas.
Thank you, and I look forward to talking to you on my way back.
All right.